Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. May God rekindle the passion in your dreams and fill you with the desire to see them come true. Praise God. I was just reading in Luke 16 today in our Word Power for Every Hour. I hope you're reading through the Bible with me this year. It's just wonderful. It's absolutely, it keeps you congruent. It keeps you strong in the Word. It helps you to know not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. It says in Luke 16, verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, that means if you have been sloppy in paying your bills, if you haven't been consistent in doing things right in the world, then who will entrust you to the true riches? If God is seeing that you're sloppy and careless and mismanage things in this world with, you know, the money that he's put into your hands to pay bills and all of that, your mortgage, your house payment, then he's not going to entrust you with the true riches. I pray that you will become consistent in everything that you do. Praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. I'll tell you, my power partners are consistent and they're generous, and God bless you. I remember when Darren said to me, when we got into this house, he says, we'll never be late on a house payment. And I took that, and I'll tell you what, God has made that so true in my life. We have never been late on a house payment. And it's the words of Darren that have come true. So as you prophesy over what you're doing, over your paying, even paying your bills, Father God, I thank you. I am never going to be late on a bill. He's going to go through, he's going to work that through in your life. He truly is. I believe that with all my heart. Our words are so powerful. They're so important. And you need to know that, friend. Your words are powerful, and they carry the anointing of God in them. So I pray that you will understand that if you are sloppy or careless in paying your bills and doing things on this earth, God is not going to entrust you with the true riches. I want you to receive that desire of your heart. Praise God. You can celebrate the life and ministry of Billy Graham as you watch his funeral service live online Friday. That's March 2nd. That's tomorrow at noon. And it will begin at 10 a.m. Eastern time, which is, that's 8 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock Eastern time is 7? Okay, 7 o'clock. Thank you, Matthew. And it's billygraham.org, billygraham.org. So please share the live stream with your friends or watch it with loved ones. Remember, go to billygraham.org with your loved ones who need to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And it'll be proclaimed throughout the service. And you can also encourage your church to show the service, as it will be a great opportunity to reach people in your community with the good news. I think that's a great idea. Thank you for your prayers for the family during this time. Oh, praise the Lord for Billy Graham's family. They're all, I believe every member of the family is born again and they're doing the work of God. That is so wonderful. Mark in Florida, a dear brother, God bless you, Mark, sent me an email, and this is serious magnitude. An insidious thing is going on in our schools. and I haven't recognized it, and I'm sure most of you haven't recognized it, but the NAACP is behind it. And I want to read this email. I don't enjoy reading these, but I want to keep you aware of what's going on so your prayers can be effective and powerful. Here's his email. In Broward County, where the massacre took place a week and a half ago, they have instituted the Promise Program. In November of 2013, President Obama was still in office, Sundance first reported that Broward County was willing to jump on the diversionary bandwagon. As an attached Associated Press article noted, one of the nation's largest school districts has reached an agreement with law enforcement agencies and the NAACP to reduce the number of students being charged with crimes for minor offenses. They took it upon themselves to just pick a number, and we're going to go with that number and pretend that the crimes have been reduced by the words of our mouth. That's so sad. The goal, as the article explained, was to create an alternative to the zero tolerance policies then in place by giving principals, not law enforcement, the authority to determine the nature of the offense. In a collaborative agreement among the school officials and law enforcement, the presence of the NAACP might seem anomalous, but not in the Obama era, where considerations of race routinely shaped educational policy. Considerations of race routinely shaped educational policy. You want to know why our children aren't being educated? Well, they are, in protests, in marches. One of the first things I saw was a huge differential in minority students, black male students in particular, in terms of suspensions and arrests. Broward's recently hired school superintendent, Robert Runcie, and we heard of him in the news, told the American Prospect, a black American, Runcie assumed that the differential was due largely to some unspoken institutional bias against minorities. As he saw it, these suspensions played a major role in the so-called achievement gap between white and minority students. The first two whereases in these clauses in the collaborative agreement deal with opportunities for students in general. They were opportunities, generally speaking, for all of the student body. But the third speaks to the motivating issue behind the agreement. Whereas across the country, students of color, students of disabilities, like Nicholas Cruz, and LGBTQ students are disproportionately impacted by school-based arrests for the same behavior as their peers. Although nonsensical on the face of it, one is hard-pressed to recall a crime spree by the disabled. My goodness, if you look at it from Holmes, James Holmes, clear on through to Charlotte, they're all mentally disabled. They're not able to comprehend things, and they're in mental institutions. And here it says one is hard pressed to recall a crime spree by the disabled. This language opened the door for Nicholas De Jesus Cruz, an adopted son of the late Roger and Linda Cruz. The future school shooter had a name that fit the metrics of the collaborative agreement. He was disabled. Regardless of his DNA, it is not hard to understand why Broward County officials would be eager to adopt this program. Miami-Dade had been receiving all kinds of honors for its efforts to shut down the dread school-to-prison pipeline. On February 15th of 2012, Miami-Dade County Public Schools put out a press release citing a commendation the Miami-Dade Schools Police had recently received. The Department of Juvenile Justice had singled out Miami-Dade for dramatically decreasing school-related delinquency. It's not true, folks. They're just putting words in there. They actually got a commendation. Said the Miami-Dade Schools Police Department Chief Charles Hurley, our mantra is education, not incarceration. And that's what they stand by, education and not incarceration. So some of these kids that should be in jail are not put in jail. I hope the parents, now this is Barbara Carmack, I hope the parents of those students who were murdered sue Broward County until they're bankrupt. I do. I pray that they will sue them. I realize it's going to get worse before Jesus comes back, but I never realized that society in general would dumb down like they have. Oh, God, help us all. When I see that they are ignoring crimes in schools, you know, they're probably petty theft, that kind of thing. They're ignoring them because they want the minorities to have the same education. It just blows my mind. It truly does. And that's why we need to pray for protection for President Trump and this administration. They're going against a hurricane force opposition. It's like a tsunami. And I am so grateful that you're praying for them, washing your hands of the Antichrist, witchcraft, Jezebel spirits, that shadow government, deep state government, and organizing for action founded by the Obamas. Oh, praise God. Let God arise and defeat his enemies. Oh, I praise God for his goodness. I praise God for his long suffering, or we would all be dead. We would be, and we'd be in hell. But God, through his infinite mercy and grace, has brought us to a point where we can actually go into the throne room of God with our requests. Memory verse for this week, and this is the last day for Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord, my God, be upon me, and do confirm for me the work of my hands. Yes, give permanence to the work of my hands. That means a harvest, folks. That means a harvest. Your works, all your works that you have done in the name of the Lord Jesus are going to come about with a great result and great harvest. I say that today to you. From the paradigm, both books that Jonathan Cahn has written, The Harbinger and The Paradigm, are joined together because both originate from ancient Israel and specifically from the northern kingdom, the land of King Jehu, who is the warrior in the paradigm, and he compares him to President Trump. The paradigm describes Jehu's ascent to the throne and his reign as king, ultimately leading up to the events of the Harbinger. So the paradigm just begins what he ends up with, the Harbinger. And that scripture in the Harbinger that he bases the Harbinger on is Isaiah 9:10. What is specifically ominous in both these books, they converge on one specific nation. And you know what that nation is? Yeah, America. That's right. Both these books and the scriptures that Jonathan Cahn got from the Word of God focus. I mean, they just focus on America. And both templates have already begun to manifest and have done so in large part simultaneously. In fact, what Jonathan Cahn is trying to tell you is that you're living in the days of the coming of Jesus Christ. You're an eyewitness to God's mercy and judgment and reprieve, God's patience and long-suffering with a carnal and selfish America. If there ever was a time for God's people to apply 2 Chronicles 7:14, given to Israel, but now given to us, to the fallen state of America, it is now. It is time for God's people to humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God and turn from their sinful ways, their lukewarm and compromising ways, and find healing and restoration. The only way we can find that, friend, is through the Lord. Oh, and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. I am. I'm coming home. Day 112 in the mystery of the cherubim. He led me through a winding ravine that opened up into a hidden enclave, hedged in by steep mountain walls. In one of the walls was an entryway. We went inside. There were several chambers. On the walls of one of those chambers was the remnant of an ancient painting of two winged creatures and a glowing sword. If you've seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark, then you've seen the creatures, the cherubim, on the Ark of the Covenant. So he drove out man, said the teacher, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. The fall of man, the loss of paradise. Remember, we lost paradise then. The separation of man from God, the unholy from the holy. And the sign of that separation was the cherubim with the flaming sword. The cherubim formed the barrier to prevent evil, sin, fallen man from entering the presence of God. So the sign of the cherubim represents everything that separates us from God, everything that separates us from peace, purpose, meaning, and love. As every separation began with the first separation of Eden, I replied, it would seem impossible for such a barrier ever to be removed. Praise God, it has been. It would, he replied. Do you remember the supernatural event that took place in the temple when Messiah died? Well, the veil in front of the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Yes, the parakeet, the colossal barrier that separated man from God, torn apart from top to bottom. But the parakeet, which is the veil, and that's P-A-R-O-C-H-E-T, pronounced parakeet, was not simply a cloth, but the vessel of a mystery. Embroidered on its fabric were images of the cherubim, the guardian of Eden, still guarding the way back to God and the barrier separating man from God. But when Messiah died, the sign of the cherubim separating man from God was pulled apart as the veil was pulled apart. So too were the cherubim, for Messiah was passing through the veil, through the cherubim, and returning to paradise. And you can read in Luke 23, verse 43, that he said to the thief hanging next to him on a cross, "Today you shall be with me," where? In paradise. Before that, there was no paradise because man had completely undone what God had planned, and he wasn't able to get to paradise. And through the flaming sword, I queried. Yes, to pass through a flaming sword would mean one's death. But by crossing through, he crossed the uncrossable barrier. The sign of the cherubim is broken. The barrier between God and man is gone. So does that mean that all barriers are nullified and all separations removed? For those who are in Messiah, there are no more separations, no more judgment, no more rejection, no more shame, no more guilt, and no more curse. It means that whatever was separating us from our purpose, our blessing, and our redemption is gone. It means that every barrier separating us from God is removed. The way is open. We are on our way home. Friend, that's why we can say when our loved ones are gone, when they're no longer on this earth, that it's okay because we're going to see them again. All the barriers are gone. There's no more separation at all. And when I first heard this precious hymn, I remember that it was written by a wonderful black man, Thomas Dorsey. He had lost his wife and his newborn baby, and all he could say is, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm so tired, but I know, Father God, that in my weakness, I am going to be strong because your power works in me." Let's listen to Dallas.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows drear, oh Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.
You're giving yourself to the Lord Jesus. That's the only way you're going to make it, friend. It's the only way. The mission at the bottom of day 112 is in Messiah. All barriers are gone. Move forward this day that power through every veil, wall of separation, hindrance, and everything is going to be gained through a victory in Christ Jesus. You can now go right into the throne room. That which has been a barrier for you and a wall, you can go right into that throne room through Jesus' blood. I want to turn to Hebrews 10. This is so good. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place. We can enter God's holy place, his throne room, by the blood of Jesus. So no wonder Satan doesn't want us to talk about the blood of Jesus. It's that cleansing blood, that everlasting blood, that is the power and the energy we need, friend, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Isn't that great? He who promised is faithful. You're serving a faithful God, a God who'll come through in any situation, in any circumstances. He's done it for me, and I'm not anything special. He loves you just as much as he loves me. I want you to know him as that personal Savior, that personal Lord. Oh, here in at the bottom of day 112, he's talking about how God drove man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Now we have it. Now we have life eternal through Jesus' blood. Exodus 26:31 says, and you shall make a veil of violet and purple and scarlet material. Oh, you think the ark was beautiful? You think the temple was beautiful? You ain't seen your home yet. You ain't seen your house yet. He's going to make it just as you desire. What do you want in your home in heaven? And it shall be made with cherubim, a work of a skillful worker. Oh, talk about a skillful worker. Jesus and God are up there, Father God, and they're making that house for you. Mark 15, verse 38, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That means God did it. God did it. Yes, you know, he incited the Jews and he incited the Romans to crucify Jesus, but it was God's good pleasure that he crushed Jesus. You can read that in Isaiah 53. Romans 8, 31 through 37. Ah, great verse of scripture, great passage. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. God did it, friend. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring a charge against you? See, if God is for you, no one can be against you. God is the one who justifies. And justifies means he sees you as not sinning. He sees you just as if you had not sinned. And that is so precious. He sees you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, in the redemption of Jesus Christ, in the sanctification of Jesus Christ. He sees you in all those things. And that's from 1 Corinthians 1:30. God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. He's your lawyer. He truly is the best lawyer you'll ever have. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, you know, it may look like you're going to the slaughterhouse, but I'll tell you what, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Do you believe that today, friend? Oh, I hope you do. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's all for Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Holy Spirit focuses on Jesus. Make your day a day of focusing on him, because without him, we all would be bound for hell. But because Jesus was willing to come and die on the cross and shed his blood, you now have that energy and power to live for him. Oh, God bless you. It's been a wonderful week being with you. Darren and I will be on the air tomorrow. And God bless you. I'll see you next Monday. Take joy.
For listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.